מסכת בבא מציעה דף חפ"ו, נו משנה, מסע בגל ובכותל ישן, הרי אלו שלו. מסע בכותל חדש, מכס יובל החוס שלו, מכס יובל לפנים של בעל הבית. If one finds an item in a pile of rubble or in an old wall, you can keep it. Because whoever it was is long gone. There's no way you can find who it belonged to. And they had Yeush, that's it. It was in the wall for a long time, so therefore you can keep it. However, if it's a new wall, then it depends. We're talking about these thick stone walls that had holes in them. And people might put something in the hole for safekeeping, maybe to find later or just to get rid of. And some of these holes might go all the way through from the outside that faces the public domain to the inside that faces is inside the person's courtyard. So if it's a new wall, then you have to assume that the stuff that was put there might have been placed by the owner of the wall. So how can you tell? Well, you see where it is. If it's on the from the middle of the wall, of the thickness of the wall towards the outside, then you can keep it, because then we assume that someone in the public put it there. And this would be like finding something in the public domain where you assume the owner forgot it there, and that's it, had Yeush, and therefore you can keep it. On the other hand, if it's in the inner half of the wall towards the owner of the courtyard, then it's most likely that the owner of that courtyard, the owner of that of the wall, put it in there, and therefore it's his, and therefore you cannot take it. However, if the owner of this courtyard or of a house, let's say if it's a wall of a house, if he rented it out to other people, he used it as an Airbnb, and people come and are renting it all the time, then even if it's in the house, you can keep it. In other words, you rent a hotel room or an Airbnb that people come and go all the time, and you find something stuck in the wall, even on the inside half of the wall, you don't have to return it to the owner of the apartment because the owner doesn't even live there. Therefore, it probably belonged to some previous tenant that stayed there. But there are many people that come and go. And therefore, again, it's kind of like in a public thoroughfare, and therefore you can keep it. Gemara, Tana, Mipnei she'achol omar lo shel emoriyim hem. Commenting on the beginning, if it's an old wall, you can keep it. Why? Because the person who finds it can tell the owner of the wall or the owner of the heap, this is here, look how old this heap or this wall is. This comes from the time of the Amorites. This is ancient, the biblical people that lived in Israel before Bnei Israel conquered it. Right? This was here for a long time. Now we ask, Atu Amorim Masne'aya, Yisrael Lam Masne'aya. Right now we're assuming that Amorim means as opposed to a Yisrael, opposed to a Jew. So do only non-Jews put things in walls and Jews don't? How do you know that this belonged to a non-Jew, not a Jew? And the answer is La Siricha de Shtich Tefe. Now we're talking about what the item you found is very rusted or looks very old, and therefore you assume it's not new, rather it's very old. The point of Emoriim, it's really an exaggeration, it's hyperbole. There's probably nothing there from the time of the Amorites. This statement was said some 1800 years ago. The Emoriim were in Israel 1800 years before the Tanaim. So this is like way, way old, even from their standard. The point of saying Emoriim is like, this is old history. This has been there for who knows how long. And therefore, whoever it is long gone and forgot about it, despaired of it, if they're even alive. And so that's why if it's an old wall, then you can keep it. And the current person who owns it can say, oh, this is mine. No, look at this old rusted item. This has been here for a long time before your time. And therefore, whoever finds it can keep it. Now, if it's a new wall, then if it's on the outer half, you can keep it. But if it's on the inner half, we assume that the homeowner put it there. Amarav Asher, Sakina Batar Kata, Vechisa Batar Shin Se. Rav Asher says something that's very logical. If you find a knife in the wall, then you don't go by this half or that half, but rather you follow the handle. If the handle is facing outwards, then whoever finds it, the passerby out on the outside can take it. Whereas if the handle is inside, then the owner of the house can keep it. Because you assume if you would store a knife in a wall, you would be holding the handle and you'd stick it into the wall, so whichever way it's facing. Same thing with a pouch. If someone puts a money pouch, here's a money pouch, so you'd put the money pouch in first and leave the laces sticking out a little, so that you can go in and grab the laces. So if the laces are facing the outside, then no matter where the pouch is within the thickness of the wall, the passerby outside can take it. Whereas if it faces the inside of the wall, then the owner can claim that it's his. Ve'ela matnitin dekatani mechasyov lachush shelo mechasyov lifnim shel ba'al ha'bayit. Ve'erzei kata legav i kata lebad. Ishin se legav, ishin se lebad. But now, how do we reconcile Rav Asher with the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah said, if you find an item and on the outer half, the passerby can keep it. Inner half, the owner of the house can keep it. But if you're talking about a knife or a pouch, well, then look at the handle or the straps and whichever way they're facing. So it shouldn't matter if it's in the inner half, but the straps are facing outside, then the passerby outside should be able to take it. And the answer is, that's right. Matintin be'udra v'nascha. The Mishnah is talking about a case of rags or metal strips that don't have a handle. There, you look on if it's an inner half or outer half. But if it's an item that has a handle, then you follow the direction of the handle. Tana, imaya kotel mimula mehen holkin. Abaraita teaches that if you have a wall that's full of some item, like coins, then they split it down the middle, and the passerby takes half the coins, and the homeowner the other half. Peshita, isn't that obvious? La siricha de mashpa bechad gisa mahu de tema ishtapuche ishtapuch kamashmalan. It seems obvious because we just said that the inner outer half the passerby gets, the inner half the inner guy gets. So of course you're going to split it. The chidush we say explain is even if it's on an incline, right? There's a hole that goes through the wall, but the hole it's higher on one half than the other. So you might have thought that, let's say it's higher on the inside, so the inside guy could say, oh, these are all my coins, but you know, some of them spill to the outside because of the incline. No, we don't say that. Even if it's on incline, you still split them down the middle. Now, if the homeowner rents out his room, it's an Airbnb, people come in and going all the time, then the homeowner cannot claim that something that's stuck in the wall is his own, because it could be anybody's who passed by there, and therefore finders keepers. Now, if you find it, how come you can keep it? Why don't you assume it's the last tenant that was there? If you stay in a hotel room and you find some watch there or something, so you know who do you just keep it? Or wouldn't you assume that it's the last tenant that stayed there? It's probably not 10 tenants ago, because in the meantime, it would have been found. It's probably the immediately previous person, so return it to that person. Milo tenan, ma'ot shedimsu lifnei socharei behema le'olam ma'aser, b'had ha'bayit holin. We're going to have a long proof that we always follow the assumption of the last person that was there, the last state of something. This is a Mishnah in Masechet Shekalim, that if one finds coins in front of the animal sellers in Jerusalem, then you have to assume it's Ma'aser Sheni. Why? Because when people come to Jerusalem, they have Ma'aser Sheni money. If they live far away and they had produce, and they take Ma'aser Sheni, but they can't carry the produce, so they redeem it for Ma'aser money. Ma'aser Sheni money can be used by the owners, but has to be in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, they have to buy animals or produce. And food. So if most people that are buying animals in Yerushalayim, they're doing so with Ma'aser money. And therefore, if you find some money that dropped on the floor, that means the person came to buy an animal, he dropped some coins. So that is you have to assume is Ma'aser Sheni money. On the other hand, if you find some coins on Harabait itself, then it's Chulin. Why? Because we assume the person that had Ma'aser Sheni money already spent it on when he came into Jerusalem and bought an animal. Any other money he had is Chulin money that he's going to use just to rent an apartment, whatever else, other expenses he has. And therefore, it's Chulin. Ubirushalayim. If you find it in the rest of the streets of Jerusalem, not up on Harabait, not in front of the animal sellers, but just in the streets, and then depends when. If it's a regular day of the week, not near a holiday, then it's chulin. People just have money, regular shoppers and people in Jerusalem. But if it's at the time of the holiday, that's when many people come in from elsewhere, from far away, and the money that they bring, most of their money, is ma'aser sheni money. And therefore, something drops, and you have to assume it's ma'aser sheni when it's around the time of the holiday. On that Mishnah, Rav Shemaya Bar Ze'ira explains, what's the reason that the rest of the year, rest of the year means even the day after the holiday, you find a coin, already you assume it's chulin, because it's not holiday time anymore. And the reason is because the marketplaces of Jerusalem are swept clean every day. Therefore, anything that was there the day before must have been swept away. Therefore, if there was any money from the holiday, that's already swept away and gone. And if you find something on the next day after the holiday, then it must be that this is newly there. Someone just brought it. And that's not during the holiday season, but rather during a weekday, and therefore it's Holin. And same thing, that's the end of the long proof. The same thing with a hotel room, where if you find something, okay, the people that were there last month, 2 weeks ago, that's it. Whatever, if they forgot something, it's already gone. It would already been cleaned up by the housekeeping, or someone else would have found it. If you come into the hotel room and you find something, then you should assume it's from the last person that stayed there. So go find who that last person is. And therefore, this is accepted, right? In fact, if you find something in a hotel or an inn or an Airbnb, then you should in fact assume it's the last person that stayed there. So then why does the Mishnah say that you can keep it for yourself? Resh Lakish says, we're talking about a specific case. Amar Resh Lakish, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kegon Sha'asa O Pundak Lishlosha Yisrael. We're talking about a case where the previous people that stayed there were more than one people. It's an inn, like a bed and breakfast, a house that a few people, different people stayed in, strangers. And it was three different Jews that stayed there. Now, who are you going to return it to? It's not clear which one of them lost the item. And furthermore, each one of them is going to think that the other one took it from him, as we'll see in a second. Okay, if in fact there was only one tenant there, then you have to return to that tenant. But when there was multiple tenants staying in the same place, then you don't know who it belongs to. That's already considered public domain. And that's why the person can keep it. Now we say, Shema Amina, Lachak Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Afilu B'lot B'Rav Yisrael. Wait, if this is true, then we have a resolution to one of the questions we had 2 dapim ago. We saw the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who said, if you find something in a public area, then you're allowed to keep it. And we weren't sure, did he mean that only in a place where there's that's mostly non-Jews, or even a place that's mostly Jews? Well, based on what Resh Lakish said over here, that if most of the people, even if most of the people that stayed in this hotel before you were Jews, nevertheless, you can keep it because it's many people, and so it's a public area. So you see that we could conclude that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say, even an area that's mostly Jews, but it's public, there's a lot of people there, finders keepers. But then we say, not so fast. We cannot make that conclusion. We didn't bring that conclusion before when we were discussing it. So it must be that this is not a good proof. Rather, Rabbi Nashia, the son of Bar Yaakov, says, no, it could be a case that Mishnah is only talking about a case where it was an inn and there were three non-Jews that stayed there before. So therefore, it's a public area. And that's mostly non-Jews. It doesn't have to be necessarily three non-Jews. It could just be mostly non-Jews. And therefore, it's a public area. And so we'll follow here to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says that he definitely says so in a place that's mostly non-Jews, that whoever lost it will have already had Yeush, despair. He figures, who's going to find it? Probably a non-Jew. They don't have this law that you have to return lost items. And so then, therefore, it's going to be gone. And since he has Yeush, finder is allowed to keep it. But in fact, you know, it's a specific person that stayed here, one person that stayed here before, then you'd have to return it to that person. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Abu, Afilu Tema L'Shlosha Yisrael, Maita Mahudin Fal Mineh Miyash Memar Amar, Mikidin Ishacharina Lahava Bihadi, Ela Hane, Vam Amri Kamaihu Kamazimne Lehaderuli, Velahi Haderuli, Vashta Lihadru, Ida Tayudahadura. We can even say that this Mishnah is talking about a case of specifically three Jews who were in that, who stayed in the inn before a person. And even if, no matter what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, even if he doesn't apply his halacha to a place that's mostly Jews, this case is different. Because, look, think of the psychology of the person that lost it, right? There's three people staying there. They're whatever, they're strangers, but they're all Jews, and it doesn't matter. They all, first, for sure, if they're three non-Jews, we already established that. We want to uphold the words of Resh Lakish, who said, yeah, that's three Jews. So think of the psychology. When they're all staying there and someone loses something, if you stay there next, you can keep it. Why? Because the person who lost it will certainly have despair. He's going to say to himself that there was nobody else here except these two people. So the person that lost is going to assume that it must have been stolen or found by one of the two other people who are staying with him. And he's going to say, I told them many times to return it. I asked with this guy, right? Did you find it? Did you take it? Return it. Did you find it? Return it to me. And they didn't return it. Now, if their intention was that they found it and they're going to return it, they would have already returned it to me. The fact that they did not return it to me means that they're going to keep it and they're stealing it. So therefore, he says, oh, I asked them 100 times already. They didn't give it back to me. So he despairs of finding it. Now, little did he know that, in fact, the two other guys who were in the hotel with him aren't the ones that took it. They didn't find it. It was under his bed the whole time. No one saw it. The next guy comes and then finds it under the bed. He says, well, let's see. What should I do with this? It probably belongs to one of the three people that were here before. However, first of all, you don't know which one. But even if you do, it doesn't matter. That person before probably thought that one of the other two guys got it, and he doesn't know which one it is. And since then, none of them are returning it, even though he asked them, and they didn't return it, he figures, oh, that's it, they stole it, and he despaired. Therefore, the next person that stays there and finds it is allowed to keep it. And that's how we can explain this Mishnah. Even if it's three Jews. Vazda Rav Nachman leta'ameh. Rav Nachman is consistent with his own opinion. Amar Rav Nachman, Ra'a sela shenafal mishenayim, chayav lahazir. Maita ma'hudin fal mineh lamiyash. Me'mar amar, mikedi inu shacharina lahava behadai, elahai. Neketna le, be'amina le, antu deshakalte. Rav Nachman says, if you find a coin that fell from two people, right? You see two people in an area, and you see something, a coin fall, it's one of theirs, you have to return it. Why? Because the person that dropped it will not despair. He'll say, well, there's only one other person with me here, so it must be that he has it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to seize him. I'm going to say, I know you took it. Give me back my coin. Right? So since the person that lost it, once he finds it, let's say afterwards, right, they go their separate ways, and the guy, he realizes he lost his coin, he's going to say, who was I with? I was with that guy. For sure he took it. I'm going to get it back. So he doesn't despair. Now, little does he know that, in fact, that guy didn't see it either. It was just on the floor, and someone else finds it. But now you find it. You have to return it to him because he does not despair since there was only one other person. So he doesn't despair going after that guy. That guy doesn't really have it. You have it. But nevertheless, the guy who lost it does not despair, and therefore you cannot keep it. However, Rav Nachman continues, Bishlosha eno chayav lahachzir, mai tama, hahu dinval mineh, vaday miyash, memar amar, mikdi terehavu behaday, inakitna lahai amar, la shekalte, vinakitna lahai amar, la shekalte. If you see three people, and one of them loses a coin, and then they walk away, and then you find it, you don't have to return it. Why? Because the guy who lost it, when he realizes he lost it, he's going to say, oh, well, who was I with? I was with those two other people. But which one of them took it from me? I don't know. If I accuse this guy and I say, give me back, he's going to say, I don't have it. If I accuse the other guy, he's going to say, I don't have it. And now, how am I ever going to get it back? So he despairs. So in each case, you have to think of the psychology of the person that lost it. Would he assume that he can get it back? Well, then you have to return it to him. But if the circumstances are such that he assumes that he won't get it back and he despairs, then you're allowed to keep it. Amadava, Haida amad bishlosha eno chayav lahachzir, la amaran ela delet ba sheve peruta lechol chad vechad, aval it be sheve peruta lechol chad vechad, chayav lahachzir. My tama, emur shutafeninu, velamiyashu. Rava qualifies Rav Nachman's ruling. And he says, when Rav Nachman said that if something fell from one of three people and you find it, you don't have to return it. Because Rav Nachman said, since the guy who lost it, he doesn't know, did this guy steal it? Did that guy steal it? Then he has Yeush. Yeah, that's true, but it's only true if the amount that you find is a very small amount, that there's less than one peruta for each one of the three, so that you find altogether just 2.5 perutot, right? Less than 3 perutot. But if there is more than one peruta for each of them, then you do have to return it. Why? Because it's possible that they are actually all partners, and therefore they did not despair. These three people, you don't know if they're strangers, and one's going to accuse the others. Maybe they actually own this coin, in this money, in partnership. And therefore, when one guy loses it, he'll assume, the other guy must have it. He trusts him, because they're all partners in it together. And so he might not even ask him where it is. And so he does not have Yeush. And therefore, since you don't know that, I mean, they could be partners, then you have to return it to them. If it's less than a shever peruta, there's halacha that you only have to return an item if it's worth more than a peruta. Less than a peruta, it's not even something that's called valuable. And therefore, if there's less than a peruta for each of them, then even if they all hold it in together as partnership, each one has less than a peruta of ownership, and therefore you don't have to return it to any of them, because it's less than a peruta for any of them. And if one person owns it, then it's more than a peruta. But we already said the logic of Rav Nachman, if it's owned by one person, then you also don't have to return it, because he'll assume it was stolen by one of the other two guys, and he will have Yeush. That's what Rava said. Ika d'amre is another version. Amar Rava, af agav delet be'ela sheve peruta chayav la'achzir. Rava says, even if it's only ela sheves shete perutot chayav lahachzir, even if it's only worth 2 perutot, you have to return it. Now, it was even less than 3. Less than 2, you wouldn't have to return it. But even between 2 and 3, you still do have to return it. Ma'i ta'ama, emur shutafeninu, v'chad minayu achule achle limnate gabe chavre. It still could be that they owned it in partnership. Now, if it's less than 3 perutot, then, as we said before, well, then you wouldn't have to return it, because each person owns less than a peruta, but not necessarily. Could be that one of the three partners, forewent his ownership in it, and so now it's only owned by 2 people, but each of those 2 people has more than a peruta. And the guy that lost it will assume that the other guy must have it, and he will not despair. And therefore, even for more than 2 perutot, you would have to return it. Less, if it's worth less than 2 perutot, then you don't have to return it. While we mentioned Rava, we're going on this topic, a couple of more halachot in his name. V'amar Rava, ra'a sela shenafla netala lifnei yeush amanat legozla, ovel bechulan, mishum, lo tigzol, mishum, hashem tishibem, umishum, lo tuchal italem. V'af agab dechazra lachar yeush, matanahu deyahible, v'isura da'abad abad. If someone finds a coin that fell from someone else, and he's supposed to return it, and instead he took it, if he took it before the owner despaired, and he was thinking, he had in mind, he's going to steal it, then he violates many prohibitions as follows. He violates stealing, right? He saw this guy, he lost his coin, and he takes it for himself. He's supposed to return it. That's stealing. Second, he violates the positive commandment of returning. If you're supposed to go and find the original owner and return it to him. And the third commandment is a lo ta'aseh that's connected to it, that do not ignore. If you see a lost item, don't disregard it and keep walking and say, I don't want to bother. No, you have to bother. You see someone's animal that's lost. Don't say, what a pain, I have things to do. No, you have to go and take care of it and find the owner. So he violated all three. And even if after the owner despaired, then he returned it to him, well, that returning is a gift. Very nice that you gave him a gift. But the prohibitions that he violated, he already violated. And so that's too late now. Netala lifnei yeush amanat lachazira ulachar yeush nitkaven legozla ober mishum hasheb tishibem. If he took it before the owner had yeush, having in mind, I'm going to take this in order to return it. Well, that's good, and he did everything right. But here's the problem. After the owner despaired, right, he waited a while. He didn't get it back to him right away. And then he sees the owner's like, oh well. He overhears him say, oh, well, for the money that I lost. And then after Yeush, then he says, oh, you know what? I think I'll keep it for myself. In that case, he violates just one law of not returning it. See, at the time that he picked it up, he actually did everything right. He didn't ignore it. And he is intending to return it. And so he didn't take it for himself, so it doesn't violate stealing. So that's okay. The problem is that after Yeush, now he decides to keep it. Well, he's not violating stealing because the owner already despaired. So it's not stealing since the owner already made it hefker and doesn't care about it. He doesn't violate passing by and ignoring it because he did pick it up with intention to return it. However, he still has the obligation to return it. And therefore, if he doesn't return it, he violates that positive commandment. Himtin la ad shein tiyashua ba'alimun tana, eno ober ela mishum lo tuchal hit'alem bilvad. If he waited, he picked it up, and he didn't pick it up. He left it there, and he waited until the owner had despair, right? And then here's the owner say, oh, that thing I lost. Now, this guy, you know where it is because you saw where it dropped, but you didn't pick it up. So right now, you didn't steal it because you didn't take it. And then after you hear the owner say, oh, well, too bad that I lost that item, then you run back and you go and take it. In that case, you do violate, do not disregard, because you saw the lost item and you left it there. You're supposed to pick it up to return it to the owner. You didn't do that. That you violated one negative commandment. But that's the only one, because you go and pick it up after the owner already despaired. After he despaired, well, then it's not stealing anymore because it's hefker. And you don't violate hashev tishivim because you don't have to return it after the owner despaired. Last halacha Rava Amar Rava. Hay man dechaze din falzu ze mechabre bechalta. Vashkeche ushkale la mechayev la hadurele. My tama hu din fal mine mia ashu. If you see someone that they dropped a coin into the sand, and you find it and you take it, you don't have to return it to its owner. Why? Because the guy who lost it, he has yeush, right? He checks his pocket. I lost this. He's walking on the beach and he lost the item. I lost it in the sand. I'm never going to find it in the sand. I have yeush. Oh, well. And therefore, you're allowed to keep it. And even if you see the guy who lost it, he went and got a sifter and he's sifting through the sand looking for coins, still you don't have to return it, because that's not a proof that he didn't despair. In fact, it could be the opposite. He despaired, but he had an idea. He says, listen, if I lost a coin just now, and what did I feel? I felt despair. I'm never going to find it. Probably there's other people that also were walking along the beach and lost coins and they despaired and left them there. So I have a business idea. Let me go get a sifter and I'll look for some money that other people may have dropped. So it doesn't mean that he didn't despair. He despaired of his own coin. And therefore, if you see it, you're allowed to keep it. Next Mishnah, Masaba Chanut Hare Elu Shelo, Ben Ateva V'Lechenvani, Shel Chenvani. If someone finds money in a store, well, then you can keep it, because you can assume that a customer dropped the money in the store, and that's it. It's a public space, and money doesn't have a siman on it, and therefore you can keep it. However, if you find it behind the counter, right, meaning where the store owner stands behind the counter, between the counter and the store owner himself, then that belongs to the store owner. Makes sense, because then it's most likely that the store owner dropped that money. Same thing with a money changer. If you find money near the money changer's table, meaning in front of it where the finder is, where the customers are, then you assume a customer dropped the money and you can keep it. However, if it's behind the counter, right, between the chair and the money changer, then it belongs to the money changer because it's likely that he dropped it. If you buy produce from someone, or someone sends you produce, and then you're looking through the fruit, through the grain, and you find some money mixed in, some coins mixed in there, you can keep it. Because these are loose coins, and so they have no siman. And how do you know who it came from? Well, why don't you assume it came from the person you bought it from? The Gemara will discuss, or the person who sent it to you. But if they were bound up together, then that has a siman. Then you have to announce, I found some money in this fruit, and then someone can come and identify it. Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu munachin al gabe shulchan. Rabbi Elazar says, what if it's on the table itself regarding the money changer? Also, finders keepers. You see, the Mishnah is not so clear. It says in front of the table you can keep it. Behind the table you can keep it. What about on the table? So Rabbi Elazar says you can keep it. Now we're going to ask about the Mishnah. Tenan lifne shulchani harel shelo ha'al gabe shulchan de shulchani. From the first phrase in the Mishnah, it says in front of the table you can keep it. So we can infer from there that if it was on the table, then you cannot keep it. It belongs to the money changer. But let's try to infer from the continuation of the Mishnah. Ben akisel shulchan shel shulchani ha'al gabe shulchan shelo ela mehalek al mishma mina. But then it says, if it's behind the table, meaning right where between the chair and where the store owner is, assuming the store owner is right up at the counter and the chair is behind him, so all the area behind the counter, then it belongs to the money changer. We can infer from there that on the table itself, the whoever finds it can keep it. So which one is it? In other words, there's a middle ground here that the Mishnah does not specify, and therefore, how can we figure out what the Mishnah meant? So rather, it must be that from the Mishnah, we cannot learn either way. The Mishnah is ambiguous about what happens if it's on the table. Now, since the Mishnah is ambiguous, how to be Elazar know that if it's on the table, then you can keep it? So Rava explains that Rabbi Elazar did derive it from the Mishnah because there was a difficulty in the Mishnah if you read otherwise. Why does the Mishnah say between the chair and the money changer that belongs to the money changer? It could have just said on the table, and then said on the table belongs to the money changer, and then that would have been clear. It gives unusual specificity when it says between the chair and the shulchani. Or iname masaba shulchanot kedekatani resha masaba chanut shelo. Or the Mishnah could have written, if one finds it on tables, then the money changer keeps it, and that would be parallel to the resha where it says if one finds it in the store, as in general. So it could have written in a more general formula, if one finds it on tables, then it belongs to the money changer, if indeed it should belong to the money changer. From the fact that it doesn't say ala shulchan or masa ba shulchanot, then it goes to the money changer, but instead it said lifnei shulchani. You see, actually is very good. Lifnei shulchani doesn't mean in front of the table, it means in front of the money changer. So the money changer, he himself, that human being, is the borderline. From him and backwards to the chair belongs to the money changer. But in front of the money changer, and the table is in front of the money changer, then it goes to the finder. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar thought that inference makes more sense. Ela shema mina afilu munachin al gabe shulchan, hare elu shelo. Even if they're on the table, you can keep it. If it's on the table, you can assume that a previous customer left some money on the table, not that the money changer himself left the money on the table. Halokeach perot mechavero. The Mishnah says if you purchase produce, which would include fruits or grains, and you find some money inside, among the grains, then you can keep it. Amadesh lakish mishum rebi anai. Lo shanu ela belokech min hatagad. Ava belokech mi ba'al habayit chayav lehachazir. Resh Lakish says you can only keep it if you bought it from a merchant, meaning a middleman. Because in that case, listen, this fruit went from a farmer and then was sold and resold and repackaged and whatever. It went through various hands in the middle. And therefore, you don't know whose money it is. So that's like a public space where there's lots of people. You don't know who it is. It doesn't have a siman, and therefore you can keep it. But if you buy it from the farmer himself directly, well, then it must come from the farmer, and you have to return it to him. V'chen tane tanat kamed derav Nachman lo shenu ela belokach min hatagad ava belokach mibal habayit chayav lehachazir. And so too did the memorizer present a baraita in front of Rav Nachman. In every Bet Midrash, there was a professional memorizer. He was in charge of remembering all the baraitot. It was assumed that everybody knew the Mishnah by heart, but not everybody knew all the baraitot by heart. These were specialties that someone would sit and they would just memorize all these things. So there was like a walking book. Rav Nachman, the sage, would say, hey, you know a Mishnah about this? Oh yeah, I have a Mishnah. A baraita about this? Yes, I have a baraita about it. And so a baraita says, this, it's commenting on the Mishnah, that this Mishnah is only true that you can keep the money if you buy it from merchants. But if you buy it directly from the farmer, then you have to give the money back to the farmer. Amar le Rav Nachman, v'chi ba'al habayit ba'asmo dashan. So Rav Nachman disagreed with this. When this memorizer said this baraita in front of Rav Nachman disagreed. Remember that Resh Lakish said the same thing, right? Resh Lakish and the baraita agree. So the baraita backs up Resh Lakish. But when Rav Nachman heard this from the memorizer, he said, that doesn't make sense. Even if you're getting it from the farmer, is the farmer himself threshing the grain? No, he has lots of workers working for him. And therefore, this money could belong to anybody, any of the workers that are working on the farm. You don't know it's from the farm owner himself, and therefore you don't have to return it, no, either way. So the memorizer, the professional memorizer said, okay, should I delete it from my memory? Right? He has a list. He has a system of remembering all the baraitot. Okay, so should I not teach this anymore because it's wrong? Amar le elad of Nachman says, no, don't erase it. You don't want to erase. It's a tradition. It has value. But rather, instead of erasing it, let's interpret it so that it's correct. Tetargem matitin kegon shedashan al yede abdo v'shifchato hakena'anim. Rather, explain that baraita as referring to a case where the produce was threshed by the homeowners, Canaanite slaves and maidservants, and therefore anything that they dropped was money that of the homeowner himself, of the farm owner himself. That it was done by his own family or slaves, which are all his property, not by hired labor. If it was dropped by a day laborer, then day laborer dropped the money, then it belongs to that day laborer. So in that case, you'd say, well, I don't know whose it is. Could be anybody who worked on it. Then you can keep the coin. But the Mishnah, but the Baraita that says you have to return it, that's if you know that the homeowner and only members of his household, including his slaves, dropped it, well then, only they threshed it, then surely one of them dropped it, and then the buyer does have to return that coin. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen v'Amen.